Our scripture this evening comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. When I worked at a church camp during several summers, we would often take groups of kids on night hikes to show them how we experience the world differently when it's dark outside. Especially for kids who were growing up in the city or in the suburbs, they often had an experience being outside when it is dark as it is at camp. One of the activities we would do on a night hike is that one of the leaders would walk about 10 to 15 feet away from the group, and then we would ask the kids that if that leader that was far away were to light a match, how much do the kids think that they would see? Most of the kids thought they wouldn't even be able to see the leader, much less anything else. After all, they had all seen a match. It doesn't produce that much light. And then the leader would light the match, and suddenly the entire forest would be lit up clearly for a few seconds. Because it only takes a little bit of light to overcome a lot of darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That's the message of this scripture from the Gospel of John. And it's a message that we need. Because we all know darkness. Even in this Christmas season, we experience darkness. You know the darkness you face in your own life. Perhaps your darkness is grief. You've lost somebody important to you, a person that you have deeply loved. And especially now, as you might be preparing to spend your first Christmas without that person, it seems especially dark. Perhaps you enter this season in the darkness of depression or hurt. Perhaps you're experiencing the darkness of fear or hopelessness. We all know what it's like to be in the dark places of life. The darkness is not new. It was into a dark world that Christ was born. Into a world of oppression and pain and loss and grief, Christ was born. And into that world, we're told that Christ, the true light, which enlightens everyone, is coming into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. That's the promise of this scripture, and that's the promise of Christmas. Christ has come, and even when everything seems to be pointing to darkness, there is light. Light is stronger than darkness. A small amount of light can overcome a whole lot of darkness. Now note, the scripture doesn't tell us that darkness is vanquished or gone. It's not until Christ returns that all be made right and new. We're still going to experience darkness. You may still feel upset on Christmas when somebody that you love is missing. You may still feel sadness and grief and pain. The promise that we have from God is that Christ, the true light, is coming into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The promise of light through the birth of Christ is the promise that no matter what we face, we're not alone. Christ is with us. We don't face grief alone. Christ is with us. We don't face pain alone. Christ is with us. We don't face isolation. Christ is with us. We don't face sadness alone. Christ is with us. We don't face darkness alone. Christ is with us. Whatever darkness you face, know and trust that you are not alone. Christ is with you. Your church, your Christian community is with you, seeking to offer you prayer and support. You don't have to face darkness and grief alone, for you are a child of God. And as a child of God, you are loved for and cared for. You belong to God. No matter what, no matter what you face, you belong to God and God is with you. And no matter what, no matter what you face, God loves you and you are a child of God. And no matter what, no matter what you face, Christ has come and lived among us and is the light that overcomes darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And because the light is shining, because Christ is with us, there is light in your darkness. It may not seem easy to see. It may still seem like you have more darkness than light. It may not be till later that you see that there was light, but the light is there. 4 years ago, my grandpa, my mom's dad, passed away in the beginning of December. My grandma had passed away about a year and a half earlier, so we spent much of the Christmas season working on cleaning out their house. My mom and I spent one morning, like the day after Christmas, organizing and cleaning out my grandma's jewelry. A big job, as my grandma was quite the collector of necklaces and earrings and bracelets. Later that day, I went to visit my grandpa on my dad's side, and I was telling him about the time that we had spent at my other grandparents' house. My grandpa, in his simple way, told me that when he died, the only jewelry we would have to worry about of his were his wedding ring, his watch, and his World War II dog tags. Then he told me that throughout his marriage, he had bought my grandma a whole lot of jewelry that she had never even worn. At that time, my grandma was in a nursing home. And my grandpa described to me one necklace that he had bought for her that he himself was particularly fond of, even though she was not. It was one made of black pearls. He sent me into their bedroom to go find it. And when I returned with it, he told me that he just wished somebody would start wearing it. My grandpa passed away 4 months after we had that conversation. Before his funeral, I went and I found the necklace and decided that since he liked it so much, that I should start wearing it. So I took it, and when my grandma passed away 6 months later, I took it for good as we were cleaning out their house. The necklace became a bit of light in the darkness for me as our family experienced the loss of those three grandparents in 11 months. It reminded me of the time spent with my grandpa, his love of picking out jewelry and gifts as gifts, as he liked jewelry and purses especially to buy for women, and his gentle nature that caused him to want others to experience love and joy. Of course, it didn't rid my life of darkness. I still experienced grief and sadness, but it was a small amount of light from Christ that overcame some of the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So even in the midst of your own darkness, know that Christ is providing light. Take time for and notice the light this season. Share it with those you care about. Yes, the season will be different. Yes, there will be darkness, but there will also be light. So look for that light. Christ is with us. No matter what you face, there is light. Christ is here. Go slow, take your time. The light might not come quickly, but it will come. You are a beloved child of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I want to close by sharing with you a poem by a woman named Jan Richardson. Jan has written many books of poems and prayers, including several on the subject of grief and Christmas as well, as Jan lost her husband 2 years ago during the Christmas season. This poem is called Blessing for the Longest Night. All throughout these months, as the shadows have lengthened, the blessing has been gathering itself, making ready, preparing for this night. It has practiced walking in the dark, traveling with its eyes closed, feeling its way by memory, by touch, by the pull of the moon, even as it wanes. So believe me when I tell you that this blessing will reach you, even if you have not light enough to read it. It will find you, even though you cannot see it coming. You will know the moment of its arriving by your release of the breath you have held so long, a loosening of the clenching in your hands, of the clutch around your heart, a thinning of the darkness that has drawn itself around you. This blessing does not mean to take the night away, but it knows its hidden roads, knows the resting spots along the path, knows what it means to travel in the company of a friend. So when the blessing comes, take its hand, get up, set out on the road you cannot see. This is the night when you can trust that any direction you go, you will be walking towards the dawn. Let us pray. God of wisdom, we come to you this Christmas season tired, in turmoil, in pain. As the nights have grown longer, so has darkness grown and wrapped itself around our hearts. In this season of longest night, we ask your healing blessing upon all those that we carry in our hearts. Sorrow we fear may never end. Wounds we cannot even put into words. God of mercy and compassion, there are those among us who are grieving over what might have been. Death or loss or terrible hurt has changed our experience of Christmas. We remember that it was once a special day for us too, but someone or something precious has gone away from us in this life. We have lost a beloved, a job, a goal, a cause, a dream. We find ourselves adrift and alone. We are weary from the journey, and we have found no room at the inn. We come to you seeking rest and peace and shelter from the storm. God of grace, in this spirit and the spirit of this season, grant us all that we need to comfort us as we journey through this Christmas season. We ask that you shelter and sustain all those of us, both here and throughout the world, who wander or weep or are heavy laden, that we might be lifted up in courage and journey on thy peace. God of love, in this Christmas season, we embrace and offer up to you all that used to be, which is now lost to us. It cannot be again. With celebration around us, memories of what was, and fears of what may be weigh heavy on our hearts. Please hold us close in your embrace. Be dear to us this night until light returns and morning comes. And now, Lord, we pray together the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Oh, there, that's in heaven. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. We invite you to take time to acknowledge that light, to come to light candles of remembrance and concern. Come forward as you feel led, as Carl plays a song.
Several years ago, right here in our church, one Sunday morning, I made an announcement of a man who had lost his wife of over 60 years. He used to sit like right here, right in front of me. Mike was his name. And on that Sunday, a gentleman who used to sit to my right over here, his name was Ray, he walked over and said, who's Mike? And I said, he's standing right next to me, and I introduced the two. Ray had lost his wife of over 60 years almost to the day of Mike's loss. And Ray simply said to him, my name's Ray, why don't we have breakfast? The two began a breakfast clutch, this love between these two brothers. And it took even several times for them to meet before Mike even knew that Ray had lost a wife a week before. So intense was his care for this man and his listening and his love for him. Mike would say later to me that he became an angel, that somehow in the midst of their grief, these two men had come together and found, well, they just found a common bond of care, of hope, of friendship. Neither felt so quite as desperately as alone as they might otherwise have. This is our dream for a church community of an honest people who would come together, enter each other's pain, care for each other, pray for each other. It doesn't take away an amputation or a loss, but somehow it becomes a spark or a candle or a flicker of a match in the darkness that makes us feel terribly human and loved with each other. We have people that are trained and spiritually gifted to do that kind of listening called Stephen ministers. Many are here tonight. If you have need of them, either tonight or in a longer term relationship, we would love to pair you up. If not that, our hope and prayer is that you find someone who can lean in and love and listen and understand and feel a bit of your heart.